This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Oh, my. I wonder which is the cereal for me. Excuse me. Could you tell me where I might find the Burns Ooze?
Sorry, Pops. They don't put nobodies on cereal boxes.
Oh, thank you, Shopee. I ventured in to search for milk when the door snapped shut behind me.
Yeah, those dairy cases are death traps.
Ketchup? 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 I'm in way over my head.
Do a little bit of shopping, and I guess teams have a little bit more money with which to do it. Just announced the NFL and NFLPA have agreed to a 2025 salary cap of $279.2 million per club.
That was all based on the Players Association figuring out how they wanted to backdate some stuff from the past and understand that about a week ago we learned the range would be $277.5 million to $281.5 million, and they settled on $279.2 million. Understand this, the $279.2 million, that's still a huge jump from the $255.4 million of a year ago.
It is indeed a record high. And before we start looking through the actual names of Matt Bowen's top free agent safeties, Studs grabbed a couple of sound drops here that I think are interesting because we've been doing this position by position. And these are comments both from Ryan Poles and Ben Johnson, both with PFT Live. Ask the same question, and you can listen to their answers because this is the Bears general manager asked what he believes is the hardest NFL position to scout.
I like this question. I've asked one other GM so far, but for you, what's the hardest position to evaluate? I know they're all hard, right? Yeah. Or maybe annoying or whatever. What's the one where there's just a lot of variables where it's a lot of work to go through it?
Safeties.
You're the second person to say that.
Yeah, there's just not a lot of touch points. When you watch offensive linemen, every play can be graded.
Right.
Safeties, their involvement is sporadic.
Right.
And I also think there's, if you just look at production, the ball can kind of find them.
Yeah, get lucky.
There's a little luck there. It gets even harder when there's guys where, you know, maybe they don't have traits and there's a lot of luck. And then you start to wonder, is it just them putting themselves in a really good position?
Yeah,
so
right.
It takes a lot of tape to get to the bottom of it.
I've been asking some coaches and GMs, like, what's the hardest position do you evaluate? Or maybe even the most annoying, right? And then we've got a variety of answers, right? Is there one for you that you kind of look at and go, damn, this is work evaluating this position, or it's hard to always be right about it? Do you have one that's a kryptonite?
Well, hey, I'll be honest. I love everybody on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah.
Defensively, I can watch defensive linemen and linebackers all the time. Corners, I can see them compete. Safety position is the one for me.
It's winning a lot right now.
Yeah, that's the one I got to get a little bit better at going forward.
Wow. They both say it. You heard Ryan Poles and Ben Johnson both say safety.
Not only did they both say it, but Chris Sims, who was one of the people along with Mike Florio conducting that interview, said that's pretty much what everyone's been saying. He said they talked to, you know, several people, front office and head coaches, and they said 7 out of 10 said safety was the hardest to evaluate. And it is. I found it one of the words that was used by Ryan Poles, calling it sporadic. You know, a safety's not necessarily involved in every play on the football field. And so you don't see as thorough of an engagement with the safety position. So a lot of it is, we think in our system, he's going to be the guy that would make the most plays. I mean, for every, I'm trying to think of a good safety. Troy Polamalu, is he good? Ed Reed, would he be good?
Pretty good. Yeah, I think those count as
for
good.
One of those, you have a lot of guys who don't jump out necessarily, but when something comes into their vector, if you will, they make the play.
Well, I hadn't really heard it phrased that way about the luck of just being right place, right time. And are you good at being right place, right time? Or do you have a knack for sensing where the ball is going to be? Or did something bounce your way? So I guess that, like you say, that becomes hard to judge because there's a lot of outlier years.
You want a ball hawk
at that position.
Ball hawk is hard to find sometimes.
Right? Or a sure tackler, depending on the kind of defense that
you're
running.
Safety, the last line of defense in theory.
So here is the list of Matt Bowen's top free agent safeties. We will start with the Dolphins' Javon Holland, who ranks number 12 in his top 50. And he has the best team fit as the New York Giants. He says a year after allowing Xavier McKinney to sign with the Packers in free agency, the Giants could try to grab the best safety on the 2025 market in Holland. He has the multidimensional traits to impact all three levels of the field for a Giants defense that needs a difference maker at safety. New York only had five interceptions last season?
Yeah, I don't know if you know this, but they weren't good.
Yeah, but I didn't know they only, as a team?
You could accidentally get 10.
Right? I mean, somebody, it hits a helmet or something.
I see what you're saying there, but
how do you only have 5? Is that an all-time low?
I don't know the answer to that, but we can look
That's
into that.
Wild! Like, even at, like an end of half, something, chucking it down the arm punt. You know, there's so many different, 5? Yow.
You are unimpressed by the 5 interceptions.
Come on. And I think the Bears are okay if they have, you know, Byard and Brisker. And Brisker is going to be, I don't know if he's one hit away from being out for the year again. But they've had, who was the Jalen Smith?
Not
Jalen Smith. What was the
Jalen Johnson?
Jalen Jones.
Jalen Jones.
Well, he's a corner. Yeah. But
yeah, Elijah Hicks was
Elijah
there.
Hicks filled in a lot. But then Jonathan Owens got some play as well, because then Elijah Hicks got hurt.
Right, yeah.
You know, Jonathan Owens, he gets around the ball.
He's a good fumble recoverer.
Didn't he have an interception too?
I think he did, but he is very good at picking the ball up off of the ground, and that's a skill.
I think he forced the fumble too, didn't he? He's around the ball a lot. Not always a good thing.
He finishes around the ball, Dan.
Right, and that was talking about offensive linemen,
I know,
though.
That's I know. Well, you want your defenders to also finish around
the
ball.
Yes, ideally. The number 14 safety and second on Matt Bowen's list is Trayvon Morig? Merig?
Morig? I believe it's Morig.
Morig? He was with the Raiders, and he has the best team fit as being with the Panthers. Here we go. Just scan it in. He'll bring tone-setting traits.
Yeah, it's Merrick, sorry.
Interchangeable safety in the Panthers scheme. He had 5 interceptions and 12 pass breakups, so he had as many as the Giants. Mm-hmm. Says the Panthers need to upgrade all three levels of their defense. They allowed a league-worst 6 yards per play. God. Yeah, but I think both of those teams need people. Now, I like this next name a lot. I don't know if it's a fit for the Bears, but I just know when this guy's been healthy, he's nasty. And that is 49ers safety Talanoa Hufanga. So the injuries have limited him to 17 games of the past 2 years, but when healthy, the former All-Pro has playmaking ability. In 49 career games, 7 interceptions, 2 forced fumbles, and a defensive touchdown. Said under Robert Saleh, their new DC, he fits as a top-down defender who should remain in San Francisco.
How many years was Saleh? 3 years in New York?
Was it that many?
I it, feels like it. So the reason I'm asking is, if that's the case, Hufanga played under him his first season. So then he would be familiar with Robert Saleh, and him staying with the Niners makes a lot of sense, especially since he only played 7 games last season.
Saleh's first year with the Jets was 2021.
Oh, no, then they didn't. No, okay. No, he was there four years.
Wow.
Well, 3.5.
But I'm saying for the last 4 seasons, he has not been with the 49ers.
Before the guy who voted the worst owner in football decided to kowtow to the whims of...
It's interesting the amount of power that people think that I have.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you got that owner just on your wrapped on your finger like Jafar did into the Grand Vizier.
Wow,
remember?
Yes,
the Prime Minister, whatever he was, and Jafar held up his little cobra staff and he
hypnotized him.
That's what Aaron Rodgers did to Woody
Johnson. The Sultan.
Thank you. The Sultan of Swing. Cameron Bynum is the number 28th rated free agent and the 4th ranked safety. And Matt Bowen has him ideally remaining a Viking. So thank you. Scanned. The Vikings should keep Bynum. One of their rising defensive backs has been productive under Brian Flores. A glider over the top who can also play downhill in the alleys. Bynum has 233 tackles, 5 interceptions, and 12 pass breakups over his past 2 seasons in Minnesota. And man, you got how many years extra did you get out of Harrison Smith that you probably didn't think you could? What's he going to be, 36? Is he about done?
Old in football years. That's that's what I can tell you. Old in football years for that position.
36 especially. Is correct.
Yeah.
Good job.
Yep.
With the age.
Yeah.
Okay. I see you in the division paying attention to what's going on.
That was the guy that knocked Mitch Trubisky out with his bum shoulder.
And that wasn't last season. That's been a while.
I remember
it's been
it,
several
though.
Minutes.
Because I remember he was a violent player. He does this kind of stuff you like blowing things up back there.
That's what you want from your safety, a violent player.
Right. Responsible.
As long as they don't hurt themselves while being violent.
And he's played, Harrison Smith, the only time he's missed extended time was his second year. He's played in 16, 15, 14 games every year.
He's played, 13 seasons? Is that?
First year was 2012, so this year would be his 13th.
How many Pro Bowls has he made?
Well, 6.
Got it right in front of me.
6.
Yes.
6 Pro Bowls, 1-time All-Pro first team, 1-time All-Pro second team.
Okay, you're starting to talk about a heck of a career.
You really are.
That's like Hall of the Very Good for a long time kind of stuff.
If you're 35 years old playing 16 games, starting 16 games, he's missed 1 game the last 2 seasons at that age, at that position.
Yeah, it's pretty special. And then the final safety on our shopping list, potentially, is the Jets' Justin Reed, who is the 43rd ranked free agent among the top 50, and the 5th safety on Matt Bowen's list, the Jet, who he thinks should remain a Jet. He says, under new coach Aaron Glenn, Justin Reed could drop the hammer as a downhill tackler and interchangeable safety for the Jets, thanks to his vision and field awareness. He had 261 tackles, 4 sacks, 3 interceptions, and 14 pass breakups over the past 3 years with the Chiefs.
So, yeah, I wanted to make that correction. He was with the Chiefs last year, not
Sorry,
the Jets.
Sorry, that was...
The Jets is the team that he should be...
Correct.
That's the best fit. Sorry about that.
Yeah, that was my bad on that one. Fine. The Jets' 17 forced turnovers tied for 20th last season, so they need playmakers. All right. I don't think it's necessarily a need position for the Bears,
but
if it's fungible and if they're always looking for special team possibilities, it may be. I don't know if any of these names are going to fit in their budget
right now. A tad high on the cost, but it's good to know what you're doing in terms of creating your big board of free agents and figuring out who's ranked where. I mean, I'm sure the left side of that board is just all linemen, offensive and defensive linemen.
Right, because I think the way you look at your own board, by the time you begin the first round of calls with the agents, you're getting some sense of where other teams' priorities are lining up, so you know against whom you're bidding. So I do think it's really important to have your pro personnel people scouting the other team's needs and saying, look, just they might be interested on him, but if push comes to shove, they're more likely to spend here than there, so let's up our offer in this negotiation rather than that one, et cetera.
Get in where you fit in, especially when you have multiple needs at the same position. You know, you can figure it out and say, we don't need the top two guys from this free agent guard class, but it'd be nice to have number one or number two and number, let's say, four or five.
Yeah, if you,
down the road,
or you value them differently than Matt Bowen does. Just because they're on his list, it doesn't mean that your people, that if you trust this group that you've put together, say, hey, this guy might be in a practice squad somewhere, but I've been following him and he's getting better, and they don't have room for him or they're misusing him. I'm telling you, this is where the Bears have to get better too. They've got to be so much better at identifying some of those guys. Like, for what they did with Andrew Billings is found value.
Yeah, they did the opposite with Ryan Bates, with Andrew Billings. Those are two polar opposites. Yeah, we've been keeping an eye on this guy. We want this guy. And then you get him, and then it turns out he's got arthritis everywhere. And then opposing, you've got Andrew Billings. Oh, that guy makes plays in the middle. He is the center of our defense, and it makes sense when we center him.
And they also read him as a leader on a defense rather than just a big body. It was like was it Ford, the guy they brought in for the Packers last year that had a couple big games on the interior? I believe his name was Ford, and had a couple of plays where you saw this huge body out there, like, oh, okay. And the more you saw him, you saw how he could be exposed a little bit when he had to move a little bit beyond his radius of effectiveness.
You want to know what your potential
Jonathan
players...
Jonathan Ford, okay.
Your potential players' limitations are, and can you work around them?
Scout your own guys and scout everybody else, but if there are free agents that are way further down the list that are untapped potential.
Sorry, not Jonathan Ford. I'll find him.
I think that's right.
No, I think it was Jonathan Ford.
That sounds right to me. He was a mid-season.
Yeah, he played four games for the Bears, and he played, played the last four games.
Oh, I misheard. I thought you said Packers.
I think he was a Packer at one point.
And then he became a member of the Bears.
And became a Bear.
Played four games for the Bears. He might have actually been on their practice squad.
Yes, Jerome Ford did play for the Bears last year for four games.
Jonathan Ford.
Yeah. Jerome Ford plays for the Browns.
Some guy named Ford. Skip Perry.
Have you driven a Ford?
Father Slimmy, Slippy, Slappy. It is Samson.
Father Chip and his son Skip make that his father son Skip Chip. Yes. So we got it. It's Jonathan Ford who was on the Bears, but that's an example of a team that was having a bad year, and you should be able to sort through some parts of your roster and find some of those guys. So I don't know do we have other positions left? Is there anything to
Skip Carey, whose pappy was the legendary Harry and whose son is Skip, died in his sleep last night. Make that his son Chip.
Somebody's dead. We don't know. Somebody related to somebody is dead. We don't know who, but we'll have further bulletins as events warrant.
Yeah, we have, I think, defensive tackles to go.
Okay.
Yeah, there's not very many defensive tackles in Matt Bowen's top 50. And again, his top 100 comes out next week, right?
Oh, we'll have more.
Yeah, yeah. But the defensive tackles, we can get into that.
And we'll have Bowen on next week to talk about this and more.
Beautiful.
I love that.
Perfect.
I love that for us.
We've got a guest coming up next, Pat Forty of Sports Illustrated. He and Michael Rosenberg did some phenomenal reporting on this burgeoning gambling scandal across pro and college basketball. There was news today of more suspensions in the wake of these various federal and NCAA investigations. University of New Orleans, the private Tears, I believe, suspended four important players on their team. Fresno State is suspending people now. It is still, I don't know why this story isn't getting more attention. I am, and I don't know if maybe just ESPN, they don't think they own the story, so they're going to downplay it because they didn't break it. But you're talking about award-winning journalists who are tracking a multi-million-dollar international gambling scandal that is affecting multiple sports, and nobody's saying boo about it. I don't get it. That's got to be one of the questions we can ask Pat Forty when he joins us next on Bernstein and Harris on The Score.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3, plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The march to spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dan Bernstein, Marshall Harris, The Bernstein and Harris Show. Middays 10 till 2 on 670 The Score.
There's some big news that we were discussing yesterday, and the aftershocks continue as the investigations continue. I am amazed. I am awestruck at how little traction the story has gotten. And maybe my cynicism can't rise to the occasion, but I hope that's not the case. This is some special work that was done by a couple of award-winning writers in Michael Rosenberg and our next guest, Pat Forty, who is a Sports Illustrated senior writer. He's on Twitter at @bypat40, and he is with us now on the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa Sports app today, twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. Pat, thanks for joining us. How are you?
Hey, doing well, guys. Happy to be on with you.
The story just kept going. It just keeps going, and I'm reading it. And I'm like, wow. And then all of a sudden, there's the murder of somebody in a witness protection program, and also, how did you just? I want to talk about the process first. Like, when you realized the size of this, how did you and Mike and your editors just kind of get your arms around how to proceed?
Well, it's a good question. It's been a gradual process. You know, I've kind of been working on this story for almost exactly a year, going back to when the Temple UAB betting line went crazy on March 7th, 2024, and started hearing then that there had been a lot of scrutiny of Temple and that this might be kind of an organized game-fixing, point-shaving situation. The Jontay Porter stuff on the NBA level came out, and in the after effects of that, you started hearing there's a connection between what's going on in the NBA and what's going on in college. And the NBA right now is still isolated to Jontay Porter. They're investigating Terry Rozier for a game in 2023 as well that they think might be linked, but there's nothing been proven in that area. But the college stuff kind of keeps coming. And so through the course of the fall, I kept hearing more and more about this. And, you know, we start looking into it. And then when Shane Hennon, one of the two people we wrote about, was arrested in mid-January, some people started pointing and saying, that guy is involved with the Porter stuff, and we think might be involved with the college stuff as well. And you start asking around and learn about Marvis Fairley as well, and all of a sudden, the dots start to connect. Still, there's, you know, nobody has been charged with anything in the college game yet, but the investigations are certainly underway.
Pat, I'm just curious because I'm almost a little surprised. Call me a skeptic, but I'm surprised it's taken this long for something of this magnitude to happen, given how sports gambling has become legal in so many different places in this country, and it's as easy as, you know, pulling up an app, as you know, on your phone, whatever. Have there ever been enough safeguards to think that this isn't where we were eventually going to end up?
Yeah, no, there aren't. And historically, look, this happens every, I don't know, couple of decades or so. If you go back to CCNY in the 1950s, right, and going on from there, you can find Tulane, Boston College, Arizona State.
Northwestern,
absolutely. So this is kind of the next cycle of it. But to your point, yes, it's much easier for people to gamble. It's legal in a lot of places. You can do it on your phone. I think on college campuses, it's rampant. And so college athletes are around it a lot. They're not supposed to be doing it, but are they not doing it or not? You know, are they? So that's kind of the question there. And yeah, I mean, you turn on a game, you go to a website, you go to SI.com, there's advertising from gambling outfits there. And so it's much more pervasive now. And no, I don't think people are terribly shocked that something like this is transpiring.
It makes me sick to my stomach that I have to ask you this, but I'm just being honest about where my thoughts have gone. If the Justice Department is now being run by somebody who we know is in large part in league with some of these nefarious forces and in line with people who are making all the money and has basically said that the Justice Department would be used now to go after enemies of the oligarchy, why should we think that these investigations and prosecutions would continue with any sort of with rhyme or reason?
It's a legitimate question. I mean, with the changeover in administrations and in various agencies, I think everything is up for grabs, including where this investigation may go. I wouldn't rule out the fact that, you know, somebody may just come in and say, you know what, we're not very interested in this.
That's what I mean. Like, the right phone call is made for somebody who is got some international skin in this game. It's like, hey, guys, you're getting a little too close. This is too much heat. Knock it off.
I mean, it's not out of the question. Oh. We'll see, you know, and again, you know, one of the things that obviously we knew going in, but has been reinforced with, the feds don't tell us what they're up to. Right. So we don't know for sure what stages these investigations are in, and they may go dormant. Who knows? It's not impossible to see that scenario happening. The NCAA is a different deal, and we're pretty sure that they're active on several of these fronts, but that's not the same as putting criminal charges on somebody.
So I'm glad you brought up the NCAA, because if the Department of Justice, you're right, they don't show up until the case is basically over, because they don't even bother you until they have all the evidence that they need historically. That's been the case. The NCAA, meanwhile, what's interesting to me about this, at this current time, Pat, it seems like they're maybe the weakest they've ever been as an organization to kind of regulate what goes on. We've seen it with college football and who really calls the shots there. And now college basketball. I remember early on there was some college baseball stuff that came out with the gambling stuff, and teams, I believe, in the SEC got pinched a little bit on that. But are we to believe that the NCAA has the teeth to really get in here and regulate like what we need to be seen, whether that's the punishments? I'm just at a loss for how involved the NCAA might be going forward with this stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I think that they are involved because, for one thing, it's easier now, quite frankly. And that's how the baseball guys you brought up got nailed, because the gambling monitors know what everybody's doing.
That's so one of the dumbest crimes of all time. The baseball thing is hilarious.
Oh, how bad it was. That was summer of 2023, and well, like you're laughing, like this cannot be real. These guys are not that dumb, that at least that we've seen yet. They're reckless. But they're not that dumb. The NCAA's got all of this, the algorithms, the analytics, the who's betting on what, where, on how much at their disposal. So they can figure out where are unusual bets happening and on which teams. And, you know, you can go in and at least demand cell phone data from players and coaches and see if you've been talking to these alleged game fixers. Now, does that prove that you were fixing games? Not necessarily, but if you've been in contact with them, that gives them something to go on. There's more information available to make a case now than there probably ever has been from a gambling
perspective. We are talking with Sports Illustrated senior writer Pat Forty here on the Bernstein and Harris Show. And another theme that I took away from this is the first half spread bet. And this idea of maybe you find some of these vulnerable college players who aren't listening to your entreaties. Like, I don't want to go against my team. We're trying to win. And say, hey, well, you can still try to win. It's just the first half spread that we're not worried about the outcome of the game. And that gives, it's not even plausible deniability, but it's maybe some sort of ethical or moral alleviation of cognitive dissonance in the eyes of a player to say, no, at no point did I not try to win the game.
Alleviation of cognitive dissonance is way too good a phrase for talk show here. That's very well said. That you're right. That I think maybe the ethical conflict is a little less if you just tell players, you know what? Give us 20 minutes. That's all we're asked for. The second half, go all out, win the game. And, but that way you're not literally trying to make your team lose. You're just adding to the degree of difficulty of winning. That's obviously maybe not in reality true, but that can be the sell job to players. And the other part of it here that I find insidious is, you know, look at the teams that we're talking about. We are talking so far. Temple is a high-profile team compared to Eastern Michigan, compared to North Carolina A&T, compared to Mississippi Valley State, University of New Orleans. We're talking about the lowest level of Division I, where there's not money for NIL. There's not a lot of money even for scholarships and for training table and expenses and all the other things that come with it. And so you want to appeal to those players and say, hey, you know what? Look at the guys, you know, Kansas and North Carolina and Kentucky, what they get. You don't get anything. Here's a way you can get a little something. Give us a half. You know, I think that they've preyed upon the poorest and smallest levels of Division I here.
It's really the others, as you mentioned, you know, the high majors and the basketball powers that be, that makes more sense. How concerned are you that this is going to be a problem going forward with other sports? Basketball seems like an easy target because of, as Dan mentioned, the first half nature of the things you can do. But
and fewer players, the game can be affected easier.
The game can be affected. Any other sports that kind of pique your interest to see, would they try to take advantage of a different sport in different levels, Pat?
You know, I just don't think there's enough available wagering. Like, there's football and there is some baseball, as we learned. I didn't even know there was college baseball wagering until I was doing that story on the Alabama case there. But it's too hard, I think, in football. You would need massive complicity from half of a starting unit. And even then, you're not sure you're going to get it. And one of the things that was pointed out to me here is, like, at a lot of these places, it's multiple players that are being suspended in basketball. Like, you get one out of the starting five, that may not be enough to fix a game. So you may need to enlist two or three guys in order to try to make it happen. So I just think numerically, it's difficult. And, you know, if there were wagering on college tennis or gymnastics or things like that, then I would be concerned. But to my knowledge, there isn't.
That's, they always said boxing is the easiest sport to fix you just had to get to the one person. Now, have you tracked down Hysier Miller? Have you talked with him?
Haven't talked to him. Talked to people close to him. He's in Germany playing professionally. From what I've gathered, he maintains he did not ever try to influence the outcome of a game. So that's his stance. And, you know, we haven't heard from him, like, via NCAA interview or a legal transcript or anything yet. So his story remains largely untold. But, unfortunately for him, he's the one name out there that's really been associated with all of this.
Well, here is to whatever is next for this report, your reporting. And it's really my hope. I'm just kind of standing, looking around like the John Travolta meme. Like, where is everybody? As it, maybe I keep thinking I'm crazy that this is such a huge deal and nobody wants to kind of pick it up and try to follow you guys into the breach here.
Well, we're fine to keep doing it ourselves.
Okay.
ESPN and the Wall Street Journal have done some reporting on it and some good reporting as well. But the more territory is left for Sports Illustrated, the more we'll take.
Go get them. Pat Forty, thanks so much.
Thanks, Pat.
Thank you.
That is Pat Forty of Sports Illustrated. He and Michael Rosenberg were doing some of this, the reporting on, like you say, massive multi-million-dollar international sports gambling scandal that exists right now.
Full with the goons and the murders and everything
else. Everything. Yeah, it's all right here. The movie rights should be optioned.
That's what I was about to say. They will be making at least a limited series or whatever out of this.
Hey, we got something really good coming out of the combine. The NFL is actually doing something good and right that is going to make the game better, more equitable, more watchable, all of it. We'll explain next.
The Bernstein and Harris Show.
There will be on the non-relaxed brain show no self-congratulations.
Defense number four. Washington has been warned that if that foul is intentionally done again, it will be an unsportsmanlike conduct foul. For now, it's half the distance to the goal, and it's still second down.
Well, interestingly enough, you got a situation here. If these are deliberate, and you heard Sean Hockley say that it could lead to an unsportsmanlike conduct call, it could also lead to awarding a score if it happens multiple times like this. So we'll hear what Sean has to say.
Encroachment, defense number 93. Washington has been advised that at some point the referee can award a score if this type of behavior happens again. For now, it's a replay of second down.
Mike, that's unbelievable. That's Sean Hockley. He has inherited the power of his father, Ed Hockley. He can bend time and space. He can unilaterally award points to anyone, anywhere, for anything.
He can also probably bench press and squat a lot, too.
Yeah, not like his dad, though.
The Hockley's.
Not like his...
He's not like his dad, but in the same vein.
Yeah, but he's not... He doesn't look like that, though. That's one of the... We had so much fun when Ed Hockley came by training camp one year when we were at Bourbonnais, and he hung out in the van with us, and we were talking about stuff. That was great. That was my dude. But yeah, if he wants to just sort of say, you know, I'm Sean Hockley, 10 points to Hufflepuff, 15 points subtracted from Ravenclaw, he can just do that. He can completely change the Wizard's Cup if he wants. But here's the good news. This is from USA Today. Starting in the upcoming season, the NFL will use Hawkeye, yes, virtual measurement to determine the line to gain. It will be the primary method for measurements. The chain gang will still be on the sidelines, but will be used as a secondary method to determine the distance. Instead of bringing out the chains, the league will go with a virtual measurement. The system works with cameras inside the stadium that track players, officials, and the ball. After the ball is spotted, the system notifies officials if a first down was achieved.
Seems simple and smart enough and efficient enough.
Yes. Thank you.
We are moving in the right direction.
Thank you. Apparently, the Hawkeye system received extensive testing in 2024, according to the NFL's Senior Vice President of Football Operations, Kimberly Fields. Wait, Kim Fields.
Not that Kim Fields.
Isn't that Tootie from Fact of Life?
I said not that Kim Fields. I knew exactly where you were going with that.
That'd be cool if it were, though. If she ended
it would
up
be something.
Being the NFL senior VP of football operations.
Maybe that's why she goes by Kimberly and not Kim.
Maybe. I don't know that Kim is
like
even
the Michael
famous
B.
enough.
Jordan. Kim Fields isn't famous?
I mean, among our age,
hold
most
on.
People have no
Studs.
Idea who she is. He's got
Do you
no
know who
idea
Kim Fields
Kim
is?
Fields is.
No.
Okay. All right. You're right. Okay. That's my reference point. If the 35-year-old doesn't know.
Right.
Yeah. You're right.
She's probably
right.
Okay.
And yeah, she's 55. Yeah, I don't know who that is.
I wouldn't know that. Too damn old. The way you said it, like she should be in a crypt somewhere. She's 55. Like
no, I just meant that is like so when she's not in my algorithm, you know, like she's not in my range
in your
of like
Tinder
when I was
algorithm. What kind of algorithm?
No. My Tinder. I'm not on Tinder, Marshall. I'm taking man here. Come on. She's not in my like
purview.
Range of like when I was coming of age, she wouldn't have been on my radar, you know. That's the kind of people that are like starting, you know, in the mid to late two, in the mid to mid, early to mid 2000s, you know.
Like you say that, but like Alinda Carter is in my range and she's about the same age difference.
Alinda Carter's a little old for your range.
But I know, my point is, I know who she is.
Like Wonder Woman was 78, right?
Yeah, I was born in 78.
So you were born then. You're not watching Wonder Woman.
I didn't watch it in syndication. Why do I know the theme song?
Okay, I didn't know it was in.
That's what I'm saying. We were just talking about.
Did Huntsville get like the third choice of all the shows?
It's a lot of Andy Griffith. There's a lot of.
I've still never seen a full episode of
In the
Andy
Heat
Griffith.
Of the Night. I've seen like every episode of In the Heat of the Night.
Okay.
Yeah. That's why. Yeah. So, but my point is, these rules right now, they're finally modernizing and getting us into the 21st century. Just everyone catch up with tennis. That's my hope for all these rules. And we've got more rules that are under consideration that are of interest.
And that would be the overtime rule.
That's
being
definitely the top.
What do you like it? The playoff overtime saying that a touch, if you win the toss, get the ball, score a touchdown in the regular season, the game's over.
Right.
In the playoffs, it's not.
I think both teams should have a chance to score. That's always been my, why don't we do the playoff rules? But I also, they're talking about expanding it to 15 minutes. No, keep it 10 minutes. Let's put some pressure on it. That way, if you're smart enough and you win the coin toss to take 7 minutes to score your touchdown, the other team's got 3 minutes. That's what we should do. And I also think it's fine if the game ends in a tie in the regular season.
I think the fact that it's in the playoffs and it's not in the regular season
is ridiculous.
Tells you when it means more. They're doing it better.
You say the same thing for hockey, right?
Yeah, that's the reason why they don't fight.
I think there is something to
the
idea.
No, I was talking about the shootout and go
ahead. I think there is something to the idea of, like, I agree, like, it should just be the same overtime, but I think there is something more to the idea of, look, in the regular season, let's just find a winner and move forward so we're not out here for, you know, another 2 hours.
That's why I said they're not doing the 15-minute thing. I'm sorry, they're talking about expanding it back from 10 minutes to 15 minutes. I said, keep it at 10 minutes. That's fine. And if it ends in a tie, that's also fine. It's the regular season. If you want to win the game, go win the game. That means if you score first, maybe you go for two. I don't know. So I think that's one of the things. The other thing that caught my eye about this is replay assist. And we always ask, why isn't replay assist used more now that we know that they can officially use replay assist? So a team could still propose a rule change to different things on replay assist. Now, the competition committee will review expansion of replay assist to include more fouls, but Troy Vincent, said there was, quote-unquote, no appetite from the committee to use video replay to throw a flag. They could still have somebody propose that if officials miss an obvious penalty such as a face mask. Because right now you can't use replay assist on that. Replay assist was used in 2024 to pick up flags thrown for roughing the passer, unnecessary roughness, intentional grounding, and ineligible player downfield. Expansion under consideration for 2025 would include roughing the passer, unnecessary roughness, face mask, tripping, illegal crackback block, and horse collar tackle, among others. So I think that's interesting because I think replay assist, if you got it and it's quick, just use it. Maybe the fight on the sidelines. Remember when we saw there wasn't a flag thrown and therefore they couldn't review for the fighting? I think if replay assist sees that on the sideline, somebody chimes in from the eye on the sky and says, hey, that guy just threw a punch. Throw him out of the game. Replay assist can do that very quickly.
And the fact that it's a throw him out of the game, but throwing a punch thing, that they can come in after the fact, obviously, and do that. I think replay assist has to be for something that is critical in the moment. And it may not be a personal foul kind of thing. It could be spot of the ball, like little things like that that you...
That becomes kind of arbitrary, though, right?
Yeah, sure it does. Yeah.
When you say, but in the moment, usually it takes several moments to realize that, oh, that was a pivotal moment.
Right, I just wonder in the balance. You're right. Maybe they'll restrict it to position of the ball, field position, down distance, inbounds, out of bounds.
Well, that's the beauty of the eye of the sky thing, the Hawkeye. That's going to solve a lot of problems. Josh Allen probably is still playing football. Well, maybe still playing football if that happens. And maybe the Bills beat the Eagles for the Super Bowl.
217 says, now we know the problem with Dan. If only he'd watched one episode of Andy Griffith.
No, I mean, I've had it on. Wait, you've never watched Andy Griffith?
I've seen it. I've never sat and watched a start to finish episode of Andy Griffith.
I feel like you appreciate Don Knotts and his... Yeah, it's because you would spend time comparing Matt Eberflus to
I know the bit, I know the whole thing, and I like Don Knotts. He was great in the Incredible Mr. Limpet,
Scooby Doo,
Apple Dumpling Gang, and he was great in as Mr. Furley in whatever that
Three's
was.
Company. Three's Company. Yes. Wow,
the ascot wearing Mr. Furley. Yeah,
listen, these are all things that I know who these actresses and actors are, even though they are 20 years older than me, and he didn't know. But
I wasn't interested.
That might be a cultural thing, too, because TV was so much bigger back then.
Monoculture, yeah.
In the 80s, TV, you knew whoever, because there weren't that many options, let's be honest.
Monoculture.
So right now, the NFL has options. Use your options wisely and make the game better. Also, do you feel like the kickoff, moving the spot, the 30 to the 35 for the touchback, is that enticing to you?
Sure. It gets the Bears closer to scoring a touchdown.
Wow.
It's fine.
No, you told me this Bears offense is going to crack. It's not going to matter if it's the 30 or the 35.
Then just start ringing up the yards. You know.
Also, I think they should bring back regular onside kicks. Like,
surprise that you, but you can't.
Why not?
The way the circumstances are now, because of the way everybody's set out. It's not fair. You have to declare
to
allow people a chance.
They got to figure something out about the onside kick.
There's no way to do that. Chris Emma has the latest from the Combine next on The Score.